Lab.
Homo
Lab.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
This is Homo Lab 53, and that's the lovely Rosie Wilby.
Yes.
And I'm Baylen Leonard. We're missing Amy LeMay, which you probably know about already, because she is in the south of France right now. Mm. I would like to say sunning herself, but I don't know if it's sunny in the south of France at the moment.
Sunny there. I think Lucio is in the sun, isn't he?
Well, yeah, and so Lucio is missing as well, and he is currently in southern Italy. So it's just Rosie and me here, kind of holding down the fort, battening up the hatches. It's literally...
Oh, it's pouring down.
Pouring down outside. And we just had a little lunch. We're over at my place in Kennington, and we had a little lunch. And I felt like, Rosie, that I should have made a more wintry type lunch. You know, like I tried to make this summery kind of pasta salad thing. And with the weather, it just didn't work really, did it?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you.
I always enjoy free food.
It should have been some sort of like, you know,
pot roast. Yes, like a wintry root vegetable soup or something.
Yeah.
You know, a warming thing by a fire.
Yeah, a fire would be nice actually right now. Do you know what? I actually turned my heat on yesterday.
Oh, God.
It was so cold. I mean, it wasn't raining so much yesterday, but there was something about it. It was really... Did you think it was really cold?
Yeah, well, it was funny. Me and my girlfriend, we went for a pizza in Camden, and they had a little roof terrace, and we went and sat outside because the sun was just out for a minute, and it looked really sunny. The sky cleared. It was blue sky. So we went outside and ordered and stuff, and we're like, oh, this is nice. But then, of course, it just immediately clouded over, and we now felt sort of marooned outside, you know, because all the tables inside
were freezing.
We were like, oh no, we had to eat our pizzas outdoors and we're really cold.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, you know, I feel really bad because we're recording this on Monday. You'll probably be listening to it Tuesday or thereafter is when we put it up. But this is the busiest day for Heathrow ever in its history because all of the Olympic athletes are arriving today.
Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking about this when I heard this on the news this morning. I thought, bless them. Because, you know, they'll be coming. They're arriving to the shittiest weather, you know, ever. And they'll have been, well, pretty much any country that they're coming from will have been warm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, unless they're coming from the Arctic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're going to come here and be like, what is this? It's the middle of July. And then I mean, thank God they've got that Olympic VIP lane. Because if you had to take the Piccadilly line into town through that hideous... area. What's that area of London on the Piccadilly line, like right outside of Heathrow on your way into central London?
Oh.
And it's filled with like allotments and chicken sheds.
I haven't got the tube to Heathrow.
I haven't either. Yeah. But when I first moved here, I moved here from New York and it was in December of the year and was taking the Piccadilly line in and, you know, going through this like chicken sheds and like allotments. And I just thought, and it was pissing down much like today. And I just thought, what have I done? So I hope the Olympic athletes feel a lot better about all of that sort of stuff. We got loads of stuff coming up on the show. We're going to catch up with our friend Jerome. Now, Rosie, you weren't around when we did this, but regular Homo Lab listeners may remember that we chatted to Jerome from Paris, who was giving up his entire life and his job and everything else, his apartment in Paris, and he was going to go travel around the world. Yeah, oh, he gave up the boyfriend as well. Okay. Yeah, that may have had something to do with the decision to travel around the world. But he's traveling around the world for the next 2, possibly 3, 4 years, only using surface transport where he can. So Jerome has been gone now for over 50 days. So we're going to get a little report from Jerome. He's somewhere in Batumi. And I don't know where Batumi is.
No,
I don't even know if I'm saying it right.
I didn't carry on geography.
But apparently it's near Tbilisi.
Oh, now, that helps.
I've vaguely heard of Tbilisi, but again, anyway, we're gonna find out what's going on with Jerome. And of course, we're going to get all of our gay star news as well. But what's your weekend been like, Rosie?
Well, it was fun. Me and my girlfriend went to her brother's wedding.
So, a straight wedding's always
straight
fun.
Wedding, goodness.
So, and is her family kind of cool with you guys?
Yeah, no, it was really nice, actually, because it was the first time, I mean, I've met her parents before, but it's the first time I'd met sort of her aunts and, you know, and all that, and uncles and things, and they were all like, oh, you must be Rosie, we've heard all about you. And so that was all really nice, because my previous girlfriend before that had been so closeted.
Oh, yeah, you said that she was completely in the closet.
So, if her mum had worn a hat to our wedding, it would have been a balaclava or something in disguise. But no, it was lovely. But we sort of dolled up in all our dresses and everything. We did the
family. You got girly.
We got girly, which is quite very unusual for me, actually. And so we were in our high heels, but they were very uncomfortable. I just slipped them off.
Now, are you a lesbian that's good in high heels?
I didn't do too badly. I've not worn them for a long
time.
But
not normally, you're not a high heel girl.
No, but I used to femme it up a bit, sort of, you know, when I was gay, I had come out, but still maybe 8 or 10 years ago.
Mm.
And I would sometimes go to Lounge, which was a sort of glamorous lesbian night. But sometimes I'd sort of stand by the bar because I realised I couldn't walk in the shoes. So the past few years, I have to say, I've probably gone the sensible lesbian shoe route.
Well, you know, it makes, that's why they do it.
I know.
You know, because it's sensible.
Well, that's why we're lesbians.
That's why, yeah.
So we can walk.
Yeah, exactly.
And have you ever worn high heels?
Have I ever worn high heels? I mean, of course I've had a pair of high heels on. Like,
Of course.
Well, you know, like in somebody's flat or something like that when you're funning, or backstage at something or whatever. But I've never worn a pair of high heels out for like the night.
No.
Or anything like that. But they're very difficult.
They are.
I do even now sometimes think when I see girls, you know, at work or on the tube or something like that in these ridiculous high heels, how great they look, but how uncomfortable they must be. Like, does your feet just get used to that?
Yeah, I mean,
because yeah, you know, do. I can wear a pair of like,
because we sort of did practicing.
Oh, you know, like, right, up and down the hall.
In the hallway. But no, they are quite uncomfortable, and it depends how high they are as well. You know.
Yeah, but you know, I can wear a pair of like, you know, wingtips with leather soles, and I have trouble.
Mm.
You know, because
sometimes it depends if it's a good shoe, basically.
That's what it boils down to.
Where you bought it.
I just went through three pairs of wingtips or brogues. I went through pairs of brogues, trying to find like a pair that I really liked and that were comfortable. Like, I mean, how old am I that I was looking for comfort in shoes? But I needed them to be cool. But I also need, because you know, when shoes are slippy, there's no point in wearing them because I just slip all over the place. So I needed something with a vague rubber sole, but that didn't look like it had one. I took two pairs back until I finally got the third pair right. I'll never wear them again.
There's a phone.
No, that's an...
Oh, what is that?
That is... Sorry.
It's a yo-yo.
This noise is a yo-yo.
What?
It's from my mother.
Oh.
And it lights up as well.
I remember those. Gosh, yo-yos were sort of around many years ago when I was a kid.
Well, my mom sends me care packages. Yeah, they're back. My mom sends me care packages, like, for everything. So that yo-yo was in one of the care packages.
Right. It made a noise. Amazing. Mm. But we sat on the gay table at the wedding. There's always...
Of course there's a gay table.
There has to be. Yeah, put them all on one table. Put them away.
Well, I quite like that.
No, it's quite fun. It is fun. Oh, yeah. But yeah, my girlfriend had sneaked in some fellow gays because her mate
She snuck them into the wedding.
Andy was doing the DJing, the disco, and her mate Craig was doing the hair. So that meant she sort of set all that up so we would have some gays.
But you know, everybody needs some gays because they're the ones that get everybody on the dance floor.
Oh yeah, Andy.
They make all the aunties feel amazing about their hair and how they're dressed. No, they were, you know, then you know, there's always a straight cousin who's curious. Who like has a few too many and then comes over with all the questions. You'll know this, Homo Lab listeners. At every straight wedding you've ever been to, there's going to be one straight cousin or uncle who's, you know, questioning.
Oh yeah, I didn't notice.
Or who's just really interested in gay sex after he's had a few, you know, five glasses of champagne. That he just really wants to know, like, who's the girl and who's the boy.
Oh God, yeah.
Underneath, he's so titillated he can barely stand himself.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Actually.
Or will maybe dance with you.
Oh, yes.
You know, and be like the funny straight bloke dancing with the gay guy, but like touch you a little bit too much.
Oh,
I quite like that. Thank goodness actually,
that didn't quite happen. But there was some terrible music though, because particularly not Andy's fault, but they requested that their first song was a Bryan Adams song, but not even the really famous one. It's called Please Forgive Me. That was their first dance.
Was that like his second most famous song?
I don't even know. I think it was about his 10th.
Canadian Bryan Adams. He's a photographer now.
Forgive me.
I know not what I do.
Yeah. Ooh.
Well, thank you. That's going to be in all of our heads now.
I know. There you go.
What would your first song be at your wedding?
Oh. Gosh, I don't know, actually. We haven't thought about it too much. Although, when we had a photo of ourselves, Andy, the gay DJ, he's the only one, he took a photo of us outside because we were looking sort of quite posh, so we thought we'd better...
Femme, you were looking femme.
Looking femme, which I've now posted on my Facebook page. But it's funny because we realised it really looks like, you know, our sort of civil partnership photo of us going, oh, here we are. And so I posted it on Facebook and I was tempted to go, surprise, we did it.
Yeah, finally.
And we'd be like, oh, congratulations.
You could have got a toaster out of it or something.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, while you were in straight wedding land, I was in straight concert land. I went to see Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, yeah, Bruce.
This weekend, and it was amazing. Well, I mean, I'm a huge, big Bruce Springsteen fan anyway.
Yeah.
Did you know that Hyde Park has 80,000 people they let in there?
Wow.
That is the capacity, 80,000 people, and it was sold out, every inch of it.
Yeah, I bet.
But yeah, super great. Although we did have to wait for, and you know, there's a huge group of us there. Of course, we were, you know, pissed instantly on like cider in our wellies and sloshing about.
Yeah. And, oh, you get more pissed in wellies, don't you?
Oh my God, so much more pissed in wellies. Wellies and mud. And there's something about festival cider that just gets you absolutely pissed.
Oh God, yeah. Well, it was funny because at the wedding, Wendy's aunt said to me, oh, wellies are in fashion in London, aren't they? And we would go, I don't think so. And then we realised it was all you lot going to.
Oh yeah, maybe it was me and my mate on the tube in our wellies. It's interesting how you try to style out your wellies. You know, ultimately they're just wellies, right? Yeah. Well, they're just green wellies. They've got any special anything. And I've thought about getting a cool pair, and then I think, why would I get a cool pair of wellies? I'm only going to use them like, you know, at festivals and like bonfire night, maybe. You know, if it's been raining enough that there's a torch procession.
My wellies fell apart at the end of Glastonbury because I was there one of these. It was so wet. It was hideous. And I remember I had to sort of kick them off to get on a coach who wouldn't let me on with them on. They were so muddy. And then they just sort of disintegrated on the spot.
Melted into Glastonbury. Well, I kind of rolled down the top of mine in a very gay, like, piss night kind of way. You know, I always look, it looks like I'm going to some, like, horrible... Yeah, piss night somewhere, because you roll them down and you're just like off to Central Station or something in King's Cross. But no, I just, yeah, they're just wellies at the end of the day. But we had to wait. The concert was 3.5 hours long, right?
Wow, okay.
And for about 3 hours, we hadn't heard a hit. At
you're
all.
You're joking. No, you know, I mean, I'm, to run or
none of that. And, you know, I'm pretty familiar with the catalogue of Bruce Springsteen. So I did recognise a lot of the stuff that he was playing, but it was by no means a hit and, you know, a classic Bruce Springsteen stuff. And then finally, like 3 hours in, Born in the USA struck up, and then we got like hit after hit, after hit. And then Paul McCartney came on.
Yep.
And then you probably heard they pulled the plug because they overran the curfew. They did Twist and Shout, I saw her standing there.
Were they just going for it?
Well, it's funny, you know, because I read about it now, and, you know, it's reported as there was the plug was pulled in the middle of their song, but I don't remember it that way. But also, the sound was so low anyway, because they've got a noise ordinance law in Hyde Park, that it wasn't really loud like at a concert anyway. You had to sing along, like, you had to mime along, because you would be louder than they were.
You can't really get into it the same.
That's why you drank more cider. But everybody's saying, oh yeah, they pulled the plug in the middle of the thing, but they came on and he did, and you know, it was one of those moments where, because we couldn't even hear him introducing him, and suddenly on the big screen, everybody was like, oh my God, it's Paul McCartney. And so they did, I saw her standing there, and then Twist and Shout, and then they did a reprise of Twist and Shout.
And that was when it got cut off.
And then it was cut off, but we were all busy screaming. Yeah, and then we were like, oh, the sounds, stopped. Oh, they're still talking, but there's no sound. And then we kind of realized, would they have done more? I don't know. It was literally just getting going though. Anyway, that was our weekend.
Amazing.
We might as well move on with this podcast, actually.
Yeah.
So let's... should we talk about Jerome first? Should we have a little chat with Jerome? So earlier... Oh, and by the way, if you want to comment on anything that we're talking about, we're on Twitter. We are at Homolab. And we should say a big thank you to our friends at Gay Star News. We're going to be doing some news from them in a minute. But since we've been partners with Gay Star News, we've got 1.3 million clicks on our little link on gaystarnews.com. So... thank you, everyone. That's, you know, really super good news. Our friend Jerome. Jerome left France over 50 days ago now. He's traveled already 6,855 kilometers, only on bus, train, walking, etc. I think he may have had to take a short flight to Istanbul somewhere, or from Istanbul or something like that. But basically, he is giving up his entire life. He's traveling around the world. He has no itinerary. He's just going from one place to the next, planning out where he'll go the next time. He's sleeping on people's sofas. He's couch surfing. He's finding contacts online. He's meeting up with other travelers. He's living the life, basically. So we promised that we would come kind of touch base with Jerome every now and again to see how he's doing. So Jerome has sent us a report. And of course, he's already had a little holiday romance already as well. Yeah. So let's catch up with Jerome.
Hello, Homolab. I arrived last night in Baku, the capital of Azerbaijan. I'm couchsurfing here, and my host is gay. Being gay in Azerbaijan isn't easy. His parents and family don't know, and only his closest friends know about his sexuality. He's 26. The longest relationship he had was 4 months, and that was 4 years ago. As you can imagine, he doesn't get many occasions to meet guys. But let me tell you, the poor boy was really eager for sex, and I just thought I could help. Homosexuality was decriminalized in the early noughties in Azerbaijan, but there is a very poor level of acceptance and absolutely no visibility. There is no LGBT group here, and there is no scene at all. Not a bar, not a club, not even a cruising area. There is a gay.az website, but it's all in Russian, and it's only general international news and gossip. The only way for gays to meet is dating websites such as Gaydar and Planet Romeo. Grindr is not popular here because people, even in oil-rich Baku, just don't have smartphones. When I turned on mine, I could only get 2 or 3 guys in Baku. The rest were in Georgia, Armenia, or even further. The website Radio Free Europe recently reported on the situation here. In the article, Mr. Hossein Alizadeh of the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission says the gay population in Azerbaijan has been intimidated to the point of invisibility. On the 17th of May, and to coincide with the International Day Against Homophobia, gay rights groups staged protests in neighboring countries, Russia, Georgia, and Ukraine, but the streets of Baku remained silent. The recent Eurovision glitz didn't help at all. On this occasion, Iran accused Azerbaijan of planning a gay parade and withdrew its ambassador from Baku. Azerbaijan only shot back not by defending the gay event, but by holding its own series of anti-Iran protests. Just as a reminder, homosexual act is illegal in Iran and the death penalty applies. I've seen comedy shows on TV in Georgia and in Baku, and they were all showing cross-race characters. This is the only visibility the community gets here, something on stage to laugh at. I've met gays all along the way, in Slovenia, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, Turkey, and Georgia, and I've witnessed gradually degrading conditions for gays. But Azerbaijan is the first country that mixes Muslim faith and Soviet-style skimmishness, and it is definitely the worst place to be gay. A guy named Mavi Oglan set up a website some time ago with the ambitious intention of introducing homosexuality to Azerbaijan. He brilliantly exposes the situation at that time, that was 6 or 7 years ago from what I could gather, and he explains how he means to proceed. There hasn't been any update since, but the website is still online and the battle continues. My host, who would rather not be named, works for an American oil company and wishes to go live in the US at some point. Next, I'm going to Uzbekistan, where homosexuality is illegal, but the penalty only goes up to 3 years imprisonment. I will also meet an openly gay chap in Tashkent, and I will send another report from there. You can follow my track and read my stories on my blog. The address is lebigjay.net, that's spelled lebigjay.net, and on Twitter, @lebigjay. Thank you for listening. Back to you guys in London.
Homo.
Loud.
Homo.
Lab.
So that is Jerome, as you can see, like living his life. And wow. It must be amazing how quickly your old life falls away. Have you ever done a huge amount of traveling?
No, I mean, probably the biggest adventure I had was just going over to Australia for a month, you know, so that's not really long enough for your old life to
come. It is kind of though, isn't it?
But things kind of go on hold quite a bit.
I mean, even if you take like a 2 week holiday, you can totally forget.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, anything important.
Especially if you're drinking cider.
Especially if you've got wellies on, exactly. Yeah. Well, that is catching us up with Jerome's adventures. If you'd like to follow Jerome, he writes a really great blog and posts loads of pictures, videos, songs that he's discovered along the way, links you up with other kind of travelers that he's meeting. It's
any photos of his love interest?
Yeah, there's photos of the love interest song, or some of them anyway. his website is lebigjay.net, lebigjay.net. And you can follow him on Twitter as well, which is @lebigjay. And worth doing, because especially if you're sitting, you know, at your desk or indoors, looking out the window at the British weather,
hotter climes.
You can dream about giving it all up and just going somewhere else. So I suggest doing that. It's a bit of escapism for us. So should we have some news from our friends at Gay Star News?
Yes.
Homo
Lab.
Homo
Lab. And this first story we've got, there's an Australian Catholic priest, Paul Kelly, who has started an online campaign to close a controversial legal loophole in Queensland's criminal code, which allows people to cite gay panic as a defence for murder. Can you believe this?
What is gay panic?
Well, basically what happened is a man was killed in the grounds of his church in 2008, and the killers acquitted of murder after one of the men claimed he'd been reacting to a non-violent sexual advance.
Right, so you're a straight guy, a gay guy comes onto you, and you have
you can just shoot him. I've had a gay panic.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And you can get away with it, basically. So, I think it's interesting that it's actually a Catholic priest who has started this petition to get rid of this loophole.
Well, yeah, considering here in Scotland, the Catholic Church has waged a war on gay marriage.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing, Catholic priest.
So his petition was launched on change.org.
So wait, this is literally a law saying that you can cite gay panic as a defence for killing someone.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
I know. It is. And, well, Father Kelly says it's unbelievable too. He says, "I'm utterly appalled that a law so revoltingly and openly discriminates against gay people is still tolerated in a modern society."
Well, good on you, Dr. Oh, no.
Father.
Okay, so a bit of Olympics news now. We spoke earlier about how the fact that this is the day that almost all the athletes that are taking part in London 2012 are arriving through Heathrow. And you may remember when we were talking about Pride and the debacle that, you know, that was going to be and the funding and all that. There was this thing called Pride House, which was going to be in...
Oh, yeah. Yes,
Clapham Common, and David Furnish was a supporter, Elton John was going to be there, and it was going to be open all summer, and it was going to be amazing, safe, fun party space for gays, and of course then they didn't have the money to do that. Mm. But they have come up with another Pride House. It's a gay venue for Olympic athletes, spectators, tourists, families, friends, and it's now been given the official support of the London Organising Committee for the Olympic Games. It's not in Clapham Common, and it's not this kind of purpose-built thing that, you know, like a temporary venue. They put it near kind of the Olympics venue. They put it at CA House in Limehouse Basin Marina. Which is, you know, if you're going to be out east for the Olympics, it's not exactly right there, but, you know, it was already there, and it's basically a marina, and Pride House has taken it over, and there's lots of stuff going on there. And I reckon once the games get underway, I reckon it'll be a good place to be, don't you?
I guess so.
You know,
yeah,
like a gathering place for gay Olympians.
No idea where it is.
I don't really know where it is either. No. But it's open from the 3rd to the 7th of August. I'm assuming it's around Limehouse, since it's in Limehouse Basin.
I don't often go over there.
I don't really know how to. I wouldn't know how to get there.
You have to go on the little Docklands.
The DLR. Do you know I was on the DLR twice last week?
Oh.
And I'm never on the DLR.
I've been on it twice in my life.
But there you go. You can sit up front and pretend like you're driving. Yes. There's no driver. And there's a window, which is always nice. But anyway, we're glad, even if it's not in Clapham Common, even if it's not as big and grand as they originally envisioned, we're glad that it's there. Yeah. So from the 3rd to the 7th, and even though it's only 4 days, we'll take it, right? CA House and Limehouse Basin Marina. And that's in London. And if you just Google London Pride House, you can find out more about that.
It was Pride Glasgow at the weekend on Saturday. And it was Scotland's biggest ever LGBT event in history, with over 6,000 people marching and partying. And they had various pop stars, X Factor stars, Joe McElroy and Lloyd Daniels. The Cheeky Girls as well.
I love Glasgow. And I bet Glasgow Pride would have been really super fun.
I did do it once years and years ago, when I was actually doing music before I did comedy, and I was doing it, me and my girlfriend were performing together, but whilst we were performing, it suddenly started absolutely chucking it down, and so everyone sort of drifted off into the tents, apart from a few really hardcore lesbians under a brolly with their cagoules and stuff. So
I bet it was pissing down this weekend.
Was it pissing down?
If you were in Glasgow Pride, let us know how it was. Was it pissing down?
It doesn't say in the news item about it whether it was raining, but I bet it was.
Oh, of course it was, and I bet it was freezing.
Actually, I'm sure I saw on the weather forecast, like up in Scotland somewhere, there were suns.
Really?
On the weather map. You know, it's not often that way around.
There's no suns on the weather map this week. Vaguely tomorrow. Tomorrow, by the way, which is Tuesday, which is the day that this podcast goes out, the Madonna concert in Hyde Park.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still waiting to hear if I've got tickets about that. My fingers are still crossed. Mm. But it's the only day of the whole week that there's supposed to be sun. So Madonna has made Madonna's a pact with the devil.
Yeah, well, quite possibly.
One more Olympic story for you. Olympic shooters saying that they're being discriminated against over the gays. A married Australian Olympic shooting team, Russell and Lauren Mark, have told newspapers that they will not be allowed to room together in the London Olympic Village, but claim that there are gay couples on the Australian team that will be allowed to. So basically what they're saying is they're a married heterosexual team, or a couple. They've been together, you know, for however long, and they want to share accommodation at the London 2012 Village. Well, the point is that the London 2012 Village, it's, you know, gender assigned, right?
So if you're, this is possibly one slim advantage if you're a gay athlete. I'm sure there are lots of disadvantages, but you could actually be shacked up with your partner.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, it's...
Yes, I don't know if that outweighs all the homophobia.
I don't know, yeah, I don't know if that outweighs the homophobia not so much.
But I just think I'm fascinated by what a sort of marriage would be like if you're both shooters, you know.
Well, this is it. I mean, you know, they're saying I'm very frustrated because in the sport, there are a lot of same-sex couples, and it's okay to be partners with someone of the same sex. But if you're heterosexual, you're penalized.
I mean, surely if you're training, you know, if you're getting ready for a big Olympic event, you're not meant to have sex, are you? Like, footballers aren't meant to do
exactly,
it before the big game.
Exactly.
You know?
And
so if they'll keep more focused, maybe.
I don't know where they're getting all their information about
who are the gay Australian athletes,
but according to Gay Star News, yeah, the only openly gay sports people on the Australian 2012 Olympic team are champion diver Matthew Mitchum and beach volleyballer Nat Cook. Neither of which are shooters. But you know, I don't know what to say about that. I just think, oh, you know, get over it, for God's sakes. That's
moaning,
fine. I can't wait for the Olympics.
Are you going to anything?
Well, I'm working at the Olympics. Lucho and I are both employed by the London 2012 Olympic Committee.
What are you doing?
We're hosting the bandstand stage in the Olympic Park. So, it's just near the Velodrome if you're there. It'll be either me or Lucho every single day of the games, hosting from noon till 10 p.m. at night.
Wow.
The band, I think it's called the Band Shell on River Long. It's like they've only got one stage in there to entertain people, kind of going back and forth between venues.
Okay.
And so in between the acts, either me or Lucio comes on and, you know, introduces the next act, gives information about the park, blah, blah, blah. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Wow, what a fun gig. Now, I'll come along with my swing ball.
Please do.
I'm a self-appointed Olympic swing ball champion.
Excellent.
2012.
Are you coming to anything?
No, we didn't get any tickets, I'm afraid.
All right, well, listen, we should say some thank yous to our new Twitter followers. We are at Homolab on Twitter. Yep. So hello, James Copywriter, Suzanne Jerry, Elbu, and Ellie Clark. Lovely to have you all along. By all means, spread the word. And that's about it for this week, isn't it, Rosie?
Yeah, it is.
What are you off to? You're going to do anything amazing?
Actually, talking of regional prides, I'm doing York Pride on Saturday.
Oh, I like York.
Yeah,
York's very pretty.
I've been for years. I went to university there many years ago as a student there. So it's the first time back for ages. And one of my memories of sort of doing gay things in York was this weird little lesbian disco that it had a record player. I don't know why, because we had CDs then. I don't know why they were sort of really
ironic.
And they had a record player, but it would jump if all the lesbians danced around too vigorously. So we were there in our sort of grungy shirts, which were the fashion in the early 90s, and trying to sort of dance delicately in our Doc Martens.
I would love to have seen lesbians trying to dance delicately. So that's one way to control them.
I know, you've got to control them. Lesbians.
Well, that sounds great. Have fun doing that.
Thank you.
I hope the weather's out for you.
We'll see.
And York's beautiful. I really like York. So that should be really nice. And I love a provincial gay pride.
Yeah.
If you're going to be in York, let us know at Homolab on Twitter and go say hi to Rosie when she's there. And then we will be back next week. So have a fantastic week, everyone. And if you're going to Madonna, enjoy that. Hopefully I'll see you there as well.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Homo.
Lab.
Homo.
Lab.